I kind of agree with the money spent on some of the, all the surveys and studies, and but I'm and not make any changes until, like you say, when they open it up again. My fear is that we have 3 or 4 different heliports, and I'm not for having everybody having their own heliport. It seems like there just should be 1 or 2 places where people fly in, and that's about it. But yeah, hopefully all the surveys and stuff are done, and they have their time, and they'll have a successful season, and I'm all for that. But I do care about your lifestyle, and having lived next to an airport, you know, by choice, though, it was not fun, and I wouldn't want helicopters flying all over my house all day either, so that's kind of where I'm at on that one.
If I might just add one last thing I just thought of. The 3-year looking at the Heli-Ski map is arbitrary because there had not been any rules in place before. So yes, we were constantly getting Heli-Skiing opened and reopened and reopened and reopened. This year we got a proposal, like I said. But if it proves out that the 3 years is too short a time, there's nothing that would stop anyone from requesting or asking for a 5-year. I mean, you can do that.
Could I just make a little comment about that comment? I noticed in the amended version of the ordinance that you're looking at putting the cycle into code as opposed to being policy, and it's in there for 3 years. Would you support the idea of putting it in code for 5 years?
I might, depending on how it was researched, how it read overall. Yeah, I might, taking into account how the residents feel. I have to tell you, and I'm going to be really blunt, I get tired of it too. I'm sitting up on the dais or 3 days, 4 days before an assembly meeting, and I see Heli-Skiing on the agenda, and already my stomach goes in knots. And Carol, I know you've been fighting the fight a lot longer. Pete fought the fight for a while too, but it's not because of the people that are vocalizing their opinions for or against Heli-Skiing. It is tough. It is extremely tough to sit up on that dais and to keep everyone's knowing what what you folks up here are dealing with, your lifestyle choice. And yet we've got another faction that have chosen the Heli-Ski industry for their livelihoods. And we know how popular the Haines area is for Heli-Skiing, for primo Heli-Skiing area. But how do we get those meshed together? If it's a 3-year term, if it's a 5-year term, I would be very amenable to looking at the 5-year, just to allow that time. I call it a cooling off time. To see, because we always seem we're no sooner out of a tail wagging the dog than we're right back in it again. And I think everyone needs a cooling off time. And unless there is a proposal brought to us, and the proposal is the key, because by constitutionality they can do it. They have rights as well. And we are remiss if we don't acknowledge those rights. But it also has to be valid. It cannot be some weird thing coming down the road. I mean, the manager has to screen it and before it is brought before the assembly. But yes, I would be very receptive to a 5-year on the Heli-Ski map. I think a lot of the Heli-Ski operators would be as well, because then they can concentrate on their business.
Well, thank you all for your points of view. I really appreciate it.
I had a question. I was wondering if each of you could speak to just one item that you personally have in mind that you think would strengthen Haynes as a community, whether that's an underserved population or, you know, some issue that's of personal interest to you. If you wanted to just speak to one item that you look forward to perhaps working on that you think will be bring Haynes along to be a stronger community and well served.
I'll take that. If nobody else is jumping on it. One thing I would like to see is some discussion of why the most basic services that we have, fuel and freight and finance, the bank, why are they all monopolies? Now, Wrangell, Alaska is about the same size as Haynes. It has two banks and a credit union. One time, Haynes was served by two fuel jobbers, Delta Western and Petro Marine. At one point, we had two freight companies here, Linden Transport and Northland. The competition went away. Why did that happen? You talk to anybody who's trying to sell something on Main Street, and they say their biggest cost is freight. Now, these are some of the issues we should be talking about when we're frittering away our time, wrapped around the axle on is there security at the borough office? Is the climate of the borough's workers' workplace okay? I say if you have a job at the borough with benefits, your climate is just fine.
Yeah.
So the hell with studying that. I think that work, if as soon as we start thinking of ourselves as a community, how can we help the businesses? How can the residents help the businesses? How can the businesses help the residents? Then we take a step forward. And that's where we have to be together. I talked to Russell Price, Colonel Russell Price. I don't know how many people know Russell. He grew up here. Great kid. He's the 28th year of his military service. Wants to move back. He's raised four kids. Wants to move back and have his grandkids come here. And he said, he's got 2 years ago, and he said, I'd like to move back to Haynes. And I said, well, what would keep you from doing that? He said, the divisiveness. You know, and that, I remember I bought a car in Juneau in the late 1980s from this guy who's just a carpenter, and he goes, oh, you're from Haynes. Man, people love to fight up there. When I ran for office, people came up to me when I said I'm running for office. People that I know and like said, why would you do that? You know, this is the reputation our town has, and it works against us. You know, the state is cutting our forestry office, just about eliminating it, despite the fact that we have 283,000 acres of state forest here. We're losing any on-site management. I think if we work together, we could maybe, people at the borough could call up the environmentalists who are good at this kind of stuff and say, hey, can you guys maybe rappel off the Capitol with a sign that says, State of Alaska is abandoning Haynes State Forest? Get that photo on every paper in the state of Alaska, and then maybe we'd be in this fight. What happened with the forestry office was first what was proposed to close was the Ketchikan office, the Juneau office, and the Haynes office. Well, guess what? Ketchikan office stayed open. Those jobs that were proposed to be cut in Ketchikan were restored. Juneau was restored, and there's not even a state forest there. There's not a stick of state lumber there. Haynes didn't get restored because we just don't have the clout in the legislature, right? We don't have the big guns. We're smaller district, we didn't have, Dennis Egan couldn't bring the force to bear. Then the assembly should jump up and say, okay, we're going to bring some more force. Somebody joked at the assembly meeting last week, oh, you know, we should offer to buy the forest from them. You bet we should. We should send them a serious letter. And that's a form of protest. That gets attention. You know, we have to start thinking in creative ways because we have big cuts coming. We got a $450,000 borough deficit. That's going to run out in about 3 years. Does anybody in this room have a plan for cutting $500,000? What do you want to do? Close the pool? Close the library? Close the museum? Those are things we need to be working on. The state of Alaska right now only brings in enough money to pay for schools. Everything else the state funds right now is out of savings. So in 3 years, about 3 years, you know what's going to hit the fan for the state. These are the issues that need to be consuming our time. How we're going to respond to that, how we can consolidate jobs, not where the helicopters are going to go. That should take about a week. So anyway, getting back to my original point, I would like to look at some of those big economic issues like the freight, fuel, the banking, Can we bring in some more competition? I compete with a public radio station. We have 3 grocery stores that compete. You know, we have 4 hotels and how many gift shops that compete against each other? And you're telling me we can't have any competition for freight? There's a lot of money in freight. You think we could somehow, you know, can we create some incentive to bring a freight company here? Can we just bring Northland up to say, ask what happened? You know, how is it the Wrangell is about our size, has 2 banks and a credit union, we have 1 bank? These are questions that I think the government should raise. They're about the well-being of our community.
I think we just have to get out of the way. Government just has to shrink and get out of the way. Not trying to be opposed to everything. We don't know where the next opportunity is going to come from. But government has a way of making it less than desirable to come to a place. And those towns that keep throwing up barriers keep suffering. And that's happened here quite a bit. We don't want, not in my backyard. I understand that everybody would like to have their perfect little place, but not in my backyard is a good way to keep the economy pushed to a lower state.
Marianne, we have a steering committee at the Chamber of Commerce looking into the foundation of an economic development corporation. And I think it's worthwhile. I think it's definitely worthwhile. But not so much as to try to court businesses to come into Haines, but when people come here for vacations and or RVing or seminars, we're going to have 2 big, very large conventions here next year. The Legion, and we will also have
Southeast Conference
and Alaska Municipal League. And Alaska Municipal League, I'm sorry. 3 great, very big conferences. And the reason I'm pointing those out is I think we need to concentrate on our infrastructure. We need to make what we have even better. We are addressing the Lutac dock. We are addressing the wastewater treatment plant in town. It's for the townside area, the Lutac dock is for everyone. But you know our wastewater treatment plant is definitely on its last legs. We have funding for a good portion of that. That'll get started here soon. Our Port Chilkoot dock is in one of the final phases of being done. It was a 4-phase, Madam Mayor, 4-phase dock. Our harbor, and I'm coming to the harbor because I had an interesting epiphany about 2 months ago. I went to a chamber luncheon, per se, and Deborah had a video about economic drivers. And as I'm watching this video, all of a sudden it hit me. It absolutely hit me that our harbor is one of the prime economic drivers for Haines. So why wouldn't we make it better? Why, if you look at it from a business standpoint, why wouldn't you put money into your business in order to make it better? People have their opinions about the harbor. I have mine. I came onto the assembly when that harbor was in development, was in conceptual, and I was one of the first assembly to vote on the 95%, and I stand by my vote. For all of the reasons that I think I am not here to undo what has been done before me. There have been many, many people involved with this, many community meetings. And if you weren't involved with the community meeting, if you thought, I had one person tell me they never thought it would get as far as it would. We had gifted $20 million. Why wouldn't you think we would do something with that $20 million? We have the opportunity to make Haines Harbor a showplace. We have to come together to make it a showplace. We have to put aside our differences and our distrust in people, in the government, in whatever organization is involved with the harbor. We're working for a common good here for everyone. I think my biggest goal as far as sitting on the assembly, because I love Haines so much, I would like to see the infrastructure of Haines, the already existing things that mean so much to every one of us. We have trails, Riley and Rapinski, that need to be addressed by Parks and Rec that aren't addressed yet. We have hundreds of people hike those trails in the summertime. I was blown away when I heard how many people use those trails. And they're not addressed. We need to concentrate on what we have right here. Look at Battery Point. We got that done about a year ago? Or there in about?
Within the last year.
Within the last year. And I mean, it's a beautiful trail. People are using that from the cruise ships, the local people. I use it. I mean, this is what we have to concentrate on, I feel.
I want to answer Mary Ann's question, I think. And I have a lot of, I disagree with some of those, but I don't want to go there. I guess what I really think we should do, and what I would like to see happen if I got elected, is that with the assembly, the administration, the borough has to start doing stuff that people like and that they want, and that they can see, and it's for people, you know, things for little kids. Kudos to Diana. I didn't realize that she was part of all that preschool that I just think is a fantastic situation. Fully funding the school to keep people here all year round. Those kind of things boost the economy. We have a business that employs 10 people, and we can do that because there's people living here that want to live here, that are making a choice to do that. And I think we have to look at that and say, what can the government do to make this a nice place to live? And not so much on the business end, but what is it that we do? And, you know, the trails are nice, and I mean, the Battery Point Trail is just down today. It's fantastic, but that's state. That's DNR. And the same with the Rapinski Trail, and the same with the Riley Trail. But we're looking at a waterfront trail that actually, at a Planning Commission meeting or with the Park and Rec meeting when it was brought up, you weren't in support of that, Diana. But what I think we need to do is, instead of focusing so much on this extra stuff and business stuff coming in, do the things that we should do well. I mean, paint the public safety building. It hasn't been painted since the Mike Case administration. And I see that as just like, gee whiz, you know? How much money are we spending bringing people here, telling people Haines is great, and we can't throw a coat of paint on something? Or we spend all this money on flower pots. What about if we plant a little row of mountain ash trees? Or, I mean, maybe that's crazy stuff, but I think it means something to people. In my opinion, probably the best thing David Sosa did was put up signs that say, share the road for cyclists. And I mean, they're simple, simple things, but I think it's much easier for people to feel like their government is with them and cooperating and doing things that we want to do if we see that and instead aren't lectured about why our ideas won't work, about why everybody knows better on whatever projects it is. We have a lot of really smart, really creative people. We have big projects coming up. There's probably a lot of people that have some ideas about the new tech dock. Wastewater treatment plant. I've heard people say, gosh, we could use that and create a hydroponic greenhouse out of our waste. And, you know, why not? I think we have to start saying, gee, the real strength in Haines lies in people who are ingenious, creative, sort of can do. We're still people, still, and the 30 years I've been here, it's still the same thing. People live here because they want to and they find a way to do it. They don't live here because we have a factory and jobs. Not that we can't use jobs, but we have to look at the smaller stuff and try to figure out what the government can do that businesses can't do. Maybe other people need to, if they're calling in something like that, but I think we have to look at residents. And I'd love to see the borough be the kind of you know, the situations like what Tom is talking about, actually utilize the citizens who appear to be critics, who may actually have a good idea every now and then. And maybe we could say yes to some things, and maybe we could do a little better job of taking care of each other. I mean, the nonprofit issue, I won't preach too much, but, you know, if nonprofits don't figure out take care of the dogs, who's going to do it? Is the borough going to spend money catching our dogs and keeping them all neutered and spayed and making sure they're well taken care of? I mean, that's a great deal for us. The same with taking care of old people or the senior housing or, you know, how all these things that are necessary for a thriving community. And God knows, little children, if we don't have little kids, then we're really stuck. And entertainment in the winter to keep us all, you know, mentally healthy so we just don't have a bar to go to. I think these are things that are, in some ways, a responsibility of the borough. And not that we have to spend gazillions doing it, but we have to say to people, like when they come here for this school, you know, make it a community center. Why not? If you've got a bunch of people that want to do it and are trying to get something happening, go for it. Say thank you instead of say, oh, I don't know, that's a bad idea. I just think we can do better that way. And if I'm elected, that's kind of the first thing. And I think from there, everything ought to trip to the better if we figure that out.
I think these things all sound good, but who's going to pay for them all? Everybody, I mean, jobs is a very big thing. I know why Wrangell is like that. I just read an article about it. They shut down their old mill because they're an old logging town, and they turned it into a boatyard. And now that boatyard is expanding another $20 million. And they have 10 different industry or different groups of people that work there, welders, fiberglass people, I mean, just on and on and on, in this boatyard in Wrangell. That's why Wrangell is starting to boom so much. So, and I think infrastructure is the biggest thing. I didn't know that we were getting so far on the sewer treatment plant. I know there's still sewer pipes around town that it's rough to see, like Ralph Borders and stuff leave, because I know through my grandpa and everything that he knows where all the stuff is in his head. There's pipes out there that are still wooden pipes. Guaranteed, there's still wooden sewer pipes out there. If the infrastructure is a big thing. I mean, what you got a preventative maintenance. If you have any kind of a vehicle or a fishing boat or anything, you change the oil regularly. You make sure everything's working properly. You don't let it sit there for 10 years and go, oh, I'll put a patch here and I'll put a patch. Well, some people do, but they're the ones sitting at the dock all the time. You have to fix stuff. You have to do preventative maintenance. And losing knowledge, like Ralph and the older crew, that actually some of the people don't even know what is around for infrastructure like that, for water and sewer pipes. They just knew it in their head. So I think that infrastructure, the trails. They were, last time I was at the harbor meeting, they said that they were looking into the cruise ship head tax to see if that could pay for it or not. And if not, then it was going to be up to the borough to see if they wanted to step up and foot the bill. And I think that's a great thing. You go along with our harbor, which we do need. If anybody's been down there for the past couple months in the boat harbor, working, trying to find a parking spot, it's been congested. Try to put a boat in between the trucks that use up three different parking spots towards the lighthouse restaurant and the boat ramp, and then the cars parked at the restaurant the other way. You can't get down there, you know, in a parking lot. Look how many boat trailers are stored behind Old Roots, because there's no parking for trucks and trailers. It's a big thing that we do need, and it is one of the, or not the most, that runs this town for economics is the fishermen. Tourism is also. And people have to look at that and realize that. The working harbor, go down there. Look how much is going on down there, really. If we get a net change or go on a net restriction or something. Look how much activity is going on. It's, and then some of the stuff like the ice house and the fuel dock that can't be used by certain vessels. The size of the harbor regulates on how big a vessel can be in there, and you watch big yachts get turned around all the time. I mean, we're trying to bring business into town, not turn them away at the door. So, I think we need to work on stuff that's in town also, the infrastructure part.
Can I throw something in while you're still on the harbor there? Being a proud mother-in-law, boat builder who's sees Haines has the potential of being a wonderful spot for people to come bring their boats out and have them repaired here, that ought to be something possibly considered within the harbor expansion.
Skagway caters to the fishermen better than Haines does.
Sure.
They really do. They just built a three-bay big shop. They have a big boat haul out. They have a big yard, and it's run by Skagway.
Right, right.
I agree. I really do. And look how much more, many more jobs it would bring just that, just a boat yard.
Right.
I know the woodworking part, fiberglass part. I've worked with John doing fiberglass stuff also. I mean, that. Since I had my boat, I've redone the decks and everything else, and I love fiberglass work. Nobody likes doing that stuff, you know, but I think it'd be great. I love working. I have to try to work all year round. I really do. Whatever I can do after fishing, if it's carpentry work or fiberglass work, or I do it, you know. So I really do think a boatyard would be a big plus.
It's interesting you should bring that up, because a couple years ago, the borough decided to do a haul out. And what was happening is all our fishermen that wanted to go to Skagway, even though we had two or three haul out to areas in town, for whatever the reasons were, they were not using them. They would go to Skagway, and Skagway treated them well. And Dave Sosa and our harbor master at that time decided, let's try an experiment. Let's try thinking outside the box. Let's do a haul out. And I think we got, how many?
There's
10, 12?
12 or 15.
Boats stayed here,
right,
in Haines, up on the wave. Or, I mean, up on their little stanchions. And I thought it was great. I mean, here the fishermen had their boat here. They could go down, take care of it, do what they wanted. And then we started hearing flack about the borough competing with private enterprise. So where are we going to go? We try to think outside the box. We have a plan that seemed to work extremely well. It was not going to be a permanent plan. We wanted to see if there was a need. Obviously, there's a need. And then we get, you know, 25% of the public saying, oh, the borough is in competition with private enterprise. And it's like, well, at some point you have to do what you feel is good for the community. And this obviously was a good step in the right direction. So hopefully if we can do a boat haul out, if someone doesn't do it, a private enterprise before us, I'm all for it.
I think the borough needed to do it all, instead of having a private person with the trailer and everything else. If the borough wants to do it, they need to take the whole thing on.
Yeah.
And then it's theirs, and then take the consequences, you know, with a bigger trailer. One that's suitable for the size of boats.
Yeah.
I guess if we're on the commercial boatyard, I believe it was Ed Bennett, he was two harbor masters ago, about 5 years ago, came out with a binder of information about establishing a commercial boatyard up at the old sawmill site in Lutac. Now, that didn't get anywhere because we got busy with fighting over parting our hair on the left or right. I can't remember what it was. But I think you have to be careful. I think the reason maybe why Wrangell has a boatyard, it's geographically central to a lot of the fishing fleet. We're on the north side, And I just want to remind people, we built an ice machine at a time when these guys had to market their own fish. The value of fish was at the basement, and these guys had to find ways to get their fish out of town. People were trucking fish. So they had to break with the canneries. And the canneries, Ocean Beauty, who supplied most of the ice, typically. So to break, to become independent, they needed an ice machine. Well, how much ice are we selling out of that machine now? Does anybody know? I don't think it breaks even.
I get ice all summer long.
And I would like to see those figures, because I think most of the fleet is back to getting its ice from the people they pitched the fish to. So that was a crash in the price of fish in the fishing industry. And we made a permanent addition to infrastructure for that. I think if you would pencil that ice machine out, it's been a dubious investment. Now, on the waterfront, I want to stand up a little bit and take us back in history to when Roger Schnabel proposed a gravel offloading facility down north of where the harbor is. And the city council rejected it. Mm-hmm. And Brian Lemke, who was a conservative businessman who owned the Fog Cutter Bar, cast a deciding vote. And he said, our waterfront is too valuable for that. Now, I'm not saying this is a parable for how I feel about the Boat Harbor expansion. I don't really have a dog in the fight. I don't live downtown. I'm not in the commercial fish industry. What I'm saying is, we have to, and the difficulty of these issues, many of these issues, is that we have to balance values in this community in a meaningful way. We can't write off that somebody likes the waterfront for whatever reason. And I thought it was great to see those boats hauled out there. But, you know, I remember when we were all for the fast ferry. And I said, who would be opposed to a faster ferry, right? You know, this is one that's going to be unanimous in Haines. And a woman stood up and she said, you know, the ferry goes fast enough. I get my knitting done on the ferry and I get some reading done. If it goes any faster, I'm not going to get my stuff done. So I think we have to kind of resign ourselves to the fact that, you know, there's always going to be opposition. And that goes back to my idea of just putting things on the ballot. Once we've talked them through, once the facts are out there, put it on the ballot. I think a boat yard is a great idea. I think it was a great idea when Ed Bennett brought it up. Whether it's feasible or not, that's the next step. Cost benefit, cost benefit, cost benefit. When the Corps of Engineers was going to build our boat harbor, core funding rested on what? We know it rested on a cost benefit analysis. If the benefits of that harbor did not meet the cost, the Corps was not going to build it. That's their litmus test. Once we moved away from looking at a harbor on the north side of the breakwater and went back to original harbor, and we said we're going to fund this with the state, we dropped the cost benefit because the Corps wasn't involved anymore. That was a mistake. I think every time we spend money, we have to look at the cost and the benefit. That's why I support a sauna at the swimming pool. Small expense, about $8,000 to build it, I figure, maybe 10. We've raised $8,500. I think it's going to bring people into the pool. I think it's going to raise pool revenues. I think it's going to raise the morale of people. The working man's trip to Mexico, you go stand, sit in a hot box for 10 minutes, you feel warm, you feel better. So we have to look at the cost and the benefit. I like the idea of a boatyard. Does it pencil out? That's the next step, and that's the kind of things we should be spending our time on.
Can I, before we get sidetracked to the harbor, because I like Marianne's question, and I'm curious to hear what everybody else thinks, and I think, I don't know if we didn't hear from Judy or Leonard on that stuff yet. And
I'm from Leonard, just Judy.
I'd like to know, Judy.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm along with you on the, you know, the infrastructure, the sewer, and the those things have to get fixed. You've got to have that. I guess the garbage is going to be coming up. I don't really haven't looked into that part. I know at the school, with new teachers and stuff, the housing is, we need affordable housing. And I appreciate Leonard trying to do that at his place. And I think that's what we need more of. Just, you know, the tiny houses or I even have dreams of, like, taking all the junk boats and turning them into little places that people can rent, you know, or camp in or something. It's like the, just modify them and prop them up or whatever. All those old LAB planes. I mean, you
know,
so that the housing is one thing. I know I like the group that's working on the barracks. Of course, the fort's a passionate thing of mine. I love the fort and have been on the historic landmark stewards and been to D.C. and Cape May, New Jersey, and all that. And there's a lot of potential there. I've talked to Murkowski about the military. We have tons of military coming through Haines off the ferry, going to Anchorage and Fairbanks. And back in the history of the fort was R&R for World War II. So I'm thinking, well, why don't we go back to that? Because it'd be a great place for people to hang out before they go either back to the States or, you know, reconnect with their family, go hiking and camping, and just some of that. Because that's what Haines does for us. You sit out there in the field and you look around, and you could have all kinds of problems, but if you just look around, you know, it's like, wow. And for me, it doesn't ever get old. I drive to work and the sun comes up and the birds and all that stuff. So, I mean, that's something we can capitalize on. The barracks alone is, you know, conventions, like you mentioned, having those, that would... There's just so many things that are, so that's kind of one of my thing. They've talked about medical and it's at the school, some vocation stuff that would help with the boat harbor if we could get, because we have a lot of kids that aren't going to go to college. They want to work with their hands. They want to be mechanics. I mean, it seems like it's hard to find mechanics. I mean, we have lots of different ones, but if we could... Maybe have like the junior college. I know Greg was talking to Patsiki about that, and maybe do some vocation where our kids, when they get out of high school, they've got a 2-year program. Then we have the bus mechanics for the tour buses, and we have you need refrigeration for all the coolers in the grocery stores. Those kind of things would be just because I'm in that field and I see possibilities and grants, and that would kind of help support the rest of the stuff. Maybe even some competition, you know, with the fuel and the garbage and those kind of things. But and then the younger people have so many ideas. That you get into the STEM education and things like that, and the science and engineering and math, and just start asking the kids and what would work for them and what would keep them there. I'm trying to get my daughter as a labor and delivery nurse. She would love to bring her family back to Haines. Her husband's a teacher. But, you know, we don't have teaching openings and we don't have labor and delivery in Haines, so that would be another thing I would like to do. I had mine here in Haines, so
we had a couple here.
Yep, we have a few here.
I think one of the things we have been very poorly on, at least the infrastructure that we can see, has not been... especially the public safety building, it needs to be completely re-sided and made look like a good, solid building. They tell me the engineers say it is, but it doesn't look like it when we drive by it. But, you know, it wasn't too long ago that everybody was talking about a fitness center. We needed a fitness center. Now, Haines has one. It came in by private enterprise. And I still believe that we need to get out of the way and encourage private people to do these things. And if the government jumps in too quick, they spend way too much money, and oftentimes it becomes a boondoggle. So I still think we have to get back to encourage an investment. And I want, you know, we see in a laundromat people coming into town almost. We might be the first people to see them a lot of times. So I get to see the new people, what they're talking about, what they're thinking. And they love Haines. And we get to see the new people building houses. And there's quite a few new houses going up this year. So things are not really dire in Haines. They actually look pretty good to me as a person who's, I get to see these people. And, but I get back to it. We just need to keep the government out of the way and be really careful. I know that there has to be some rules, but boy, they can be kept to a minimum because that's what will make our town be able to prosper. When people feel like they don't have to buck the government to do something,
sure how to explain this. I get the sense through my life that when there is a service that is vital and easily monopolized, it doesn't really have a place. And I'm thinking of trash.